This morning, our guest speaker is Alan Baker. Alan and Tricia have been appointed AG missionaries in Europe since 1993, served prior as pastors in Indiana for 13 years. In addition to their pastoral role in missions, the Bakers traveled extensively in evangelism and leadership development ministry. And at present, the Bakers are serving as missionaries in residence at Central Bible College. Also, Alan serves as the campus pastor and doing a fine job. Tricia works in the enrollment office, and the Bakers also travel to raise the necessary budget to return to Europe next summer, and they have two daughters, and one of them, which is here this morning. I want us to give a warm, central welcome to the Bakers this morning.
Thanks, Al. Sir. God bless you.
Good morning, Central Assembly. Good morning. Good morning. Overseas, I always brag upon our American churches for their warmth and their life, and I have to come back home and feel those things. They help us along the way. Good to see Brother Triplett today, who was actually on the board I met with the very day I was approved as a missionary, and I shook there in that chair that day, and they had favor upon us, allowed us to serve in missions in Europe. Thank you, Central, for a warm welcome this morning. It's been a joy today thus far, greeting you before service, between services, the pastoral staff. You have a great pastoral staff. Do you know that? These folks have, yeah, you should applaud them. They have, to a person, asked what they could do to help me this morning and serve me, and that's just a mark of character and quality. I thank them for that today. I also need today to give a greeting to all my AG World Missions family across the room, all the folks who serve with me all around the world, and those who take care of us back here at the headquarters office. I won't start mentioning names because I'll forget someone. That's always a bad thing to do. So put your name in the blank. God bless you. Also, my CBC family today, all my students, wave at me, please. There they are on the back rows, the front rows, the side rows. And here's, yeah, thank you so much for being here today. CBC has become a real family to my wife and I. It's a great school. They are sold on preparing ministers and missionaries for World Harvest. And the way they've embraced us, given us a home and a family, has literally changed my wife and my life. It's just changed us. We thank you for being here today to support us and for all you do for us every day. Take your Bibles, please. Turn to Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24. And as you turn there, can I get your promise today you'll help me preach? That be okay? It's just us. It's just you and me. We're family, right? You love the Lord? Say amen. Amen. It's just family. You're going to spend forever with me. So you might as well help me today to preach today and enjoy our time together. Have a great story for you today. One I think you know very, very well from the Gospel of Luke. I'll begin reading chapter 24, verse 13. Now behold, two of them, as two disciples, were traveling the same day, the day of Christ's resurrection, to a village called Emmaus, which was 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. So it was, while they conversed and reasoned, that Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were restrained, so they did not know him. And he said to them, "What kind of conversation is this that you have one with another as you walk and are so sad?" Then one whose name was Cleopas answered and said to him, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem? And have you not known the things which have happened there in these days?" And Jesus said to him, "What things?" He then explains those things in the 4 or 5 verses following. But Jesus is not satisfied. His response we find in verse 25. "O foolish one, slow of heart to believe." There's a word of blessing. "Foolish one, slow of heart to believe all the things the prophets have spoken. Ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory?" And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, Jesus expounded to them all the scriptures, the things concerning himself. Then they drew near to the village of Emmaus where they were going, and he indicated that he would have gone on farther, but they constrained him, saying, "Abide with us longer, for it is toward the evening, and the day is far spent." Now it came to pass, as he sat down at the table with them, he took bread, he blessed it, he broke it, he gave it to them, and then their eyes were opened. Then they knew him, and then he vanished from their sight. They said one to another, "Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us on the road, and while he opened the scriptures to us?" And so they rose up that very hour, they returned to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together. And they said, "The Lord is risen indeed, and he has appeared to Simon." They told about the things that had happened on the road and how he was known to them in the breaking of bread. Our Master, break bread with us today, we pray. Break bread with us, we pray. More than sermons, Father, break bread with us, we pray. We don't need sermons. We don't need services. We need meetings with the God of the universe. Our Lord and Maker, meet with us now, we pray, through your word. Break it to our hearts. May the word come into us as a burning flame and fire. May it set our souls ablaze with the glory of our God, a glory that sets in us so deep and so strong, we leave his place never changed to go out into a world of harvest, that there we might share the good news of Jesus Christ, not only with words, but with life and with fire and with power. We pray in the name of him who is worthy, the name of Jesus, and all set together. Amen, amen, and amen. Two disciples one day on their way home to Emmaus. The day is Sunday, the day of Christ's resurrection. They were not two of the 11, but they were disciples nonetheless. Verse 13 tells us so. As they're walking home this day, they walk home different from the week before. You see, the week before on Sunday, they'd gone up to Jerusalem. They'd gone up for the Passover. And they'd gone with great expectations that week because, after all, it was the Passover. It was a great Jewish feast of celebration and family and friends and sacrifice. But this Passover, of all, was one to be celebrated because they would celebrate it with Jesus, God's prophet and teacher and miracle worker. And there were those among their number who even prophesied that that very week Jesus would redeem Israel from their Roman oppressors. And so Sunday and Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday would be a glorious week in the presence of their family and friends and expecting that Jesus would do something spectacular. But then came Friday. And the cross. Then came the day when all their hopes were shattered and despair came in. And then came two more days, Saturday and Sunday, wondering what had gone wrong, so desperately wrong with their lives. And now they're wandering back home to Emmaus in despair. But in the midst of their despair, on the way home to Emmaus, a friend in the face of a stranger joins them on their journey. He sets their hearts on fire. Jesus sets their hearts on fire with hope and purpose and faith. Jesus, he breaks the word of God to them, the word of God living and the word of God written. And that word becomes in them a flame that leaves them never to be the same again. Can I tell you today that Jesus has come to meet with you, to journey with you on your way home to Emmaus? The same Jesus who came and set their hearts on fire in the midst of their despair has come to meet you and set your heart on fire this day. He's come to put a flame in you and a flame in your soul that will leave you never to be the same again. He has come to number you and number me among those whom A.W. Tozer called the children of the burning heart. Tozer said this, "To have found God and still to pursue him is the soul's paradox of love. Scorned indeed by the too easily satisfied religionist, but justified in the happy experience of the children of the burning heart." My prayer today is through the word of God that we individually and we collectively as one body of believers, we will become children of the burning heart. That a fresh fire will be set ablaze in each and every one of us individually and across the room as a body of believers. That our prayer then today would be that we'd not only be changed here in this room, but we leave its place to bring change, the power of God's change to a world who desperately needs to know Jesus Christ. The question today is, who are the children of the burning heart, and how can I take my place among their number? The children of the burning heart are first of all those whose hearts are consumed with conviction. Conviction. In verse 25, we see something in these two people that really impresses me. These two people were not only open to God's conviction of sin in their lives, they in fact invited it. They wanted it in their lives. When this man they do not even know joins them on their journey, rebukes them for their sin, their foolishness, the stillness of heart, they do not refuse him, but they accept it. And they invite more, saying, "Don't leave us. Tell us more about the truth. Teach us how we can get off of the road to despair and how we can walk in the truth of God." They were children of the burning heart. They were consumed by conviction. God in heaven, whatever it takes, our hearts are yours. Let nothing stand between you and us. Let your fire now fall and consume those things that stand between us. The subject is conviction. Doesn't that subject excite you? Somebody say, praise the Lord. I'll say it, praise the Lord, because the conviction really is an exciting subject. The Bible says conviction should lead to repentance, and repentance leads to life. Life. Think about it. If these two disciples had not said yes to his conviction that day, Jesus would not have joined them on their journey. He would not have broken bread with them in their homes. Their eyes would never have been opened. Their hearts would have burned. And they'd have gone through life the same as they had been. Conviction of sins. It's an exciting subject. But we're living in a day when following Christ has been reduced to something far less than walking in holiness. You see, in our day, following Christ has been reduced to simply feeling good about ourselves. Many today tell us, as long as I believe in Jesus, it doesn't matter how I live. That's the gospel we hear many times nowadays. Holiness is even being mocked by many in the church of Jesus Christ. People say that holiness has become somehow an obstacle to evangelism because it offends those who might otherwise join our number. Consequently, friends, we are stroking sins and warming our hands at strange fires in the church today, fires and sins that would have gotten us a quick trip to the spiritual woodshed back in the early church. Just ask Ananias and Sapphira. You see, the devil's confused us about holiness. Several years ago, my family and I were in the Greek islands cruising. I sat up top in an upper deck, and as I did, I heard the conversation behind me of a group of young students, maybe 17, 18 years of age. Forgive my candor, but they spoke openly of hooking up with one another, having sexual relationships with one another, describing them openly in public. Shocked at what I was hearing, I rose up, went back down to a lower deck, the back of the boat, and sat with my family again. Troubled. Not as troubled as I would be. Because as that ship came and backed into the port of Athens, Greece, that same group of eight students came down, stood behind me, joined by others. They formed a circle, they joined hands, and they sang out loud for all to hear words I knew all too well. They sang, "It's all about you, Jesus. It's all about you." Somehow, holiness has become optional equipment in our walk with Christ. Somehow, conviction of sin is no longer called necessary. You see, the devil's confused us about holiness and conviction of sin. He hangs before our eyes a neon sign every day that flashes legalism, legalism, legalism. And we all know that legalism must be avoided at all costs. And so in avoiding legalism, we turn off the road of holiness, not realizing as we turn off the road of holiness, we turn off the way of life. Let's change the tone. I'm going to confess something today that's going to shock you. You ready for this? My favorite Christmas special on TV, Charlie Brown. Charlie Brown, company, I'd see it. Thank you so much. Thank you, see. How many admit it? How much your favorite Christmas show? Anybody? Yep. I love that one. From a boy, I've loved that little story of a little round-headed kid named Charlie Brown who's so confused about the meaning of Christmas. For 30 minutes, he wanders about. Is it presents? Is it lights? Is it decorations? He's so frustrated at the end of the program, he stands upon a school platform and he shouts out to heaven, "Isn't there anyone who can tell me what Christmas is all about?" Little voice of Linus Van Pelt from the back is heard, and here comes Linus pulling his little blanket along, and he says, "What? Sure, I can tell you what Christmas is all about, Charlie Brown." And then the beautiful retelling of Luke 2, the birth of Christ, and he concludes his little monologue by saying, "And that's what Christmas is all about, Charlie Brown." It's a beautiful moment, because it really is what Christmas is all about. Well, sometimes when it comes to holiness and conviction in the church, I feel just like Linus Van Pelt. I want to grab my blanket, run up the front of the platform and say, church, I can tell you what conviction of sin is all about. Conviction's a young man who finds the girl of his dreams. And when he sees her, everything in his life is open for discussion. There's nothing he won't change. Nothing he won't talk about and change if only their love could be allowed to grow to fullness, if only they can come to the fullness of their dream come true. Friends, that's what conviction's all about. That's what holiness is all about. Holiness is not heaviness. Holiness is not hardness. Holiness is wholeness. It's coming into the fullness of the very thing our soul yearns for. It's coming to the very thing our soul was made for, possessing it and being possessed by it. The fullness of life in Jesus Christ. C.S. Lewis said it this way. If we consider the promises, the staggering nature of the rewards promised in the Gospels, it would seem our Lord finds our desires not too strong but too weak. We are half-hearted creatures fooling with temporary pleasures when infinite joy is offered to us, like an ignorant child who wants to go on making mud pies in the slum because he cannot imagine what is meant by the offer of a holiday at the sea. We are far too easily pleased. Today, God Himself is joining you on your journey. He's asking you if you want mud pies or a holiday at the sea. Now, if you want a holiday at the sea, the price has been paid, it's all yours. But before you can go, you're going to have to put down your mud pies. Hello? You have to wash your hands and let Jesus wash your heart. Today it may be you're on your way to Emmaus. It may be you're in despair. It may be you're simply walking your way to Emmaus and life in Christ isn't what it used to be. You may be saying to God, the world around me has robbed me of my walk in Christ. The world around me has robbed me of my joy. Fix my world, oh God, fix my world. And God today may be saying, I'll fix your world, but first of all, let's take care of you. Let's bring you up to the standard of my righteousness so that I might light a fire in your soul that will stand the test of any world, any time, any circumstance. The fire that comes with the presence of Jesus Christ. The question is, though, how far are you willing to walk with Jesus today? The question today is just how much truth do you really want and just how free do you really want to be? Do you really want to be a child of the burning heart? Second of all, those who are children of the burning heart are not only consumed with conviction, they are consumed with Christ. They are consumed with Christ. There is but one fuel in the flame of their life, and that fuel is Jesus Christ Himself. Jesus. I love the epiphany experienced by these two disciples. They're back home and suddenly their eyes are open. Suddenly, they understand, they realize we were with Jesus the whole time. Did our hearts not burn within us when we were with Jesus? Isn't that how you feel this morning when God gives that word like He did? Oh, your heart burns within. My God has met with me this day along my way. Do you know this Jesus? Do you know this Jesus, the Jesus of the book? I don't mean the Jesus of our own inventions. I mean the Jesus of the book. You see, in our day, there are those who are preaching a new and improved Jesus. A just ask Him into your heart Jesus. I call Him a Twitter Christ and a Facebook Jesus. Right? So easy to join, so much fun to use, and so easy to turn off when the messages begin to offend. That's not the Jesus I'm talking about. I mean the Jesus of this book. Do you know Him? This Bible says that this Jesus who joined the disciples on the road to Emmaus, this Jesus who's come to join you on your journey today, that Jesus is God. He is eternal God. When the beginning began, whenever it began, Jesus was already there because he is the eternal God. Being God, though, he became flesh. He became human, as every much human as you and me. He lived upon this earth just like you and I do. He faced every temptation you face, and yet never once did he ever fall in sin. The Bible says he was crucified for the sins of the world, for your sins and for mine. Then he was buried in a borrowed tomb. But death could not hold him. The grave could not keep him. Hell could not defeat him. He was raised in power, raised in glory to give life eternal and abundant to anyone and everyone who would simply dare to believe upon the name of Jesus. But he did not stop there. 40 days after his resurrection, the Bible says he went back to where he had always been, back to the right hand of God the Father, where even today he is ruling and reigning from his throne on high. Can you say praise the Lord? Hallelujah. Some years later, after the ascension, the Apostle John one day, who had been banished to a barren bit of rock in the middle of the Aegean Sea, one day he said, I heard a voice speak to me, and the voice sounded like a mighty trumpet behind me. I turned to see the voice that spoke to me, and having turned, I saw seven golden lampstands. In the midst of the seven lampstands, I saw the Son of Man. He was clothed with a garment down to his feet. He was wrapped around the chest with a golden band. His head and hair were white like wool, as white as the snow, and his eyes like a flame of fire. His feet were like fine brass, as if refined in a furnace. His voice was like the sound of many waters. In his right hand he held seven stars, and in his mouth was a sharp two-edged sword, and his face shone like the sun in all of its glory. John said, I fell at his feet as though I were dead. But he placed his right hand upon me and said, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am the living one. I was dead, but now I am alive forevermore. I have the keys of death and of hell. Who did John see that day? Who did he see? He saw the eternal Son of God. His name is Jesus. 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 He is Almighty God. He is the author of your salvation. His name is Jesus. He is the bread of life. He is living waters. His name is Jesus. He is your deliverer and your hope. His name is Jesus. He is your good shepherd and the prince of your peace. His name is Jesus. He is the Lord of glory and the light of the world. His name is Jesus. He is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, who takes away my sins, and his name is Jesus. He is the Word of God. He is the truth who sets you free. His name is Jesus. He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. His name is Jesus. He is Messiah. He is Savior. He is Son of God. He is Redeemer and Resurrection and Life. His name is Emmanuel, God with us. His name is Jesus. And joy of joys, I am His. And he is mine. His name is Jesus. I am his and he is mine. Friends, this is the Jesus who's come to walk with you on your journey today. Put away, God help us to put away our small personal images of this Jesus of our own imaginations. Let us know the Jesus of this book, who comes and still sets hearts ablaze with life and peace and joy and glory and goodness. The name of Jesus. Not only will his name preach on a Sunday, his name will walk, his name will work in the streets where all people live each and every day. A friend of mine overseas, born a Muslim, found himself far from his homeland in Iran, found himself living in Amsterdam, the Netherlands, found himself addicted to hard drugs, had not bathed in weeks, if not months, barely eating. He said, Pastor, my hair was down to my waist. I was now a scorn to all those who had once known me. I wandered about one day looking for a free meal, looking for a place just to fall asleep, looking for my next fix. And I found in the middle of Amsterdam a small bus. And the bus had a sign on it that said, free meals, free showers, free haircuts to all who come. He said, I was so hungry, I took a chance. I climbed up the back steps of the bus, and sure enough, they welcomed me. They cut my hair for me. I was able to shave for the first time in months. There was a small cubicle there for a shower. I had a shower and came out. And there was a small table. And upon the table was a hot meal prepared just for me. I sat down and began to eat that meal. Still in my drunken, drug-induced stupor, I was eating. And then across from me sat a friend in the face of a stranger. And she began to tell me about Jesus. Because I was in this state I was in, I did not get angry. I sat there and listened, and suddenly Pastor told me it was just like in the Word of God. Suddenly my eyes opened up and I saw Jesus. I saw who He is. And suddenly my drug addiction was gone as I believed upon the person of Jesus Christ. Amen. He said, Pastor, it was just like the Scriptures. I was a new creation, totally remade by the power of God in a moment's time. I got off a different man on the front of the bus than I got up on the bus from the back. Friend, this is the Jesus who's come to walk with you today. This is the Jesus who's come to light a fire along your way. May His fire burn in our souls. May His fire burn in our hearts. May it make us children of the burning heart. Very quickly, I want to just mention this before I close. It will also make us, if we are children of the burning heart, it will also make us to be consumed with His great commission. Verse 33 says, when they saw Christ, they rose up and they returned immediately to Jerusalem. The text does not say they ran, but that's the sense here. They have story to tell, and it must be told now. They have seen the risen Lord. The fire is in their souls. And they must tell the story now. For whatever reasons, we tend to be more like the Apostle Peter on Mount of Transfiguration when it comes to the glory of God. When we experience the presence, the glory of God, we tend to be just like Peter. Remember what he said? When he saw the Lord there with Peter and John, he said, Oh Lord, Your glory. Oh Lord, Your glory. Let us now build here a central assembly of God, and let us never leave these four walls. But these two disciples were different. They were children of the burning heart. When they saw the resurrected Lord, when His fire was lit in their hearts, they rose up on their feet. The fire in their soul compelled them to go and tell all they knew about the resurrected Savior. Everyone here, real quickly, help me out with an experiment. Ready? I'm going to count back from three. When I say go, everyone, please take a deep breath and hold it. You ready? Three, two, one, go. I'm watching mates poking each other here. That's cheating. All right, what happens eventually? What happens eventually? You have to exhale, don't you? If you don't exhale, what happens? You pass out. The guy's a medical doctor. What an amazing thing. You breathe out, you breathe it out, or you pass out. Friends, that might explain why the church of our day is not growing. Either we're not breathing in the life, the glory of God, or we're not breathing it out. And we've passed out, calling it life in Christ. Preaching in Ukraine several years ago, as I preached to a full house one day, to my right over here sat a Russian woman. Found out later on she was Russian, she was Jewish, and she was atheist. Yep. She looked like she could have been a Russian shot putter. She was a very muscular woman, very large, very burly, very black hair and eyebrows. And as I preached, she sat like this and she listened. The longer I preached, the deeper eyebrows went. And I could see that resistance had become anger, and anger had become literal hate. And I thought to myself, if she's sitting right there, she's going to get up and she's coming after me. So I came over here, I preached on this side for a while, you know. Great man of faith that I am. But I've often said, if she had a gun, she'd have shot me. I gave the altar call that day. And as I did, dozens and dozens of people rose to their feet and came to receive Christ as Savior. But up against the stream went one little fish swimming out the door. There she went, my Russian shot putter. Pastor that I am, I wondered, I thank God for the 99 sheep, but what about the one? What have I done? What have I done? And all over praying with people, I'm so concerned. What have I done? I finished praying with the last person there, literally 90-some people. I looked up, and there she stood. She'd come back. No longer frowning, now she's smiling ear to ear. No longer alone, she has a friend in hand. Through my translator, she told me her story. She said, Pastor, while you were talking, I was very angry with you. I did not like what you were saying. The longer you talk, the angrier I got. But then at the end, when you said you were going to pray to God, I thought, huh. But then as you prayed, something happened in my heart. And I saw this Jesus you're talking about. And suddenly I realized there is a God in heaven who loves me. And I realized his name is Jesus. And I thought, I must pray with you. I must pray. But wait a minute. Back in my room is my best friend. She doesn't know about Jesus. She's lost in her unbelief too. I'll go and find her. I'll tell her the story. And if she'll say yes, we'll come back together. And together we'll receive Jesus. So Pastor, would you please pray with both of us to receive Jesus as Savior? Her first breath in Christ, instinct kicked in. She knew the fire within compelled her to go and tell her story. Friends, when we are children of the burning heart, when our passion is for Jesus, it will not diminish our passion for those who are lost to him. It will make that passion burn all the brighter, for they are his passion. They are the burning in his heart. When he is in our hearts will burn for those who cause his heart to burn. Close with this. On Thursday, September 29, 1904, God touched the heart of a young man in Wales named Evan Roberts. He said, young man, preach revival. Preach salvation for your nation. Preach it to all 17 of your young people in your youth group. And believe me for great things. Evan Roberts was a child of the burning heart. He obeyed God. He preached that message to his youth group. Long story short, for 2 years, the Spirit of God shook the nation of Wales. For 2 years, the fires of God burned. For 2 years, every single church in the nation was filled to capacity. Every service, not just one church here and there, but literally every church in the land filled to capacity. For 2 years, secular newspapers wrote that the entire nation of Wales had been converted. More than that, they said that crime virtually ceased to exist. Wales' most dangerous criminals came to faith in Christ. Judges had no cases to try. Police forces were laid off for lack of work. Debts were repaid. Stolen items returned. Debts were forgiven. Restitution for wrong was made. For 2 years, the fires of God burned across the land of Wales because one man dared to become a child of a burning heart. With him, a nation came. History was changed. Children of the burning heart. Children of the burning heart. My prayer this day is that we will be children of the burning heart. Our hearts will burn with conviction. Our hearts will be consumed with Jesus Christ. Our hearts will be consumed with his commission to reach those yet lost to him. I pray that one day, when this world passes its way, we arrive in heaven. We walk to the great library of heaven. We take those great books out. We find one that's labeled Central Assembly, Springfield, Missouri. We open it to this date, November 15th, 2009. And we look there under those words, we read this: on this day, the people of Central Assembly of God, as one man, took their place among the children of the burning heart. More than a sermon, folks, is the heart of God. It's the heart of God for this great church. Your past is a great history. Your future is in your hands this day. May you be children of the burning heart. Lord, today now we pray in the name of Jesus, Him who is Savior, Him who is Lord, and Him who has joined us in our journey today. I pray, Lord, today for this house that we will now receive fully the Word of God. We receive fully, Lord, by responding to it. I'd like to ask our prayer partners in the room, please, from all across the sanctuary, to join us here at the altars. All of our prayer partners, please join me here at the altars. If you're here today and you know there's something between you and God, an obstacle of some kind, the Bible calls it sin. Choose the word you want, but you know it stands between you and God. Follower of Christ, as well as those who don't yet know Him. You can't leave here today like you came. You can't leave here today with that obstacle between you and Jesus. Be a child of the burning heart. Come to these altars today. Lay that burden down. Let the truth set you free and walk out of your clean right now. Come right now as we're preparing to pray. Right now. If you're here today, you don't know Christ as Savior. You love the words you hear about this Christ who's eternal, this Christ who rose from the dead, this Christ who has come to walk with you, but this is the moment now to respond. You see, it's not going to catch you on the way home like a police car chasing you down. It's an open door now you must give to Him as you simply say yes. So come join us here at the altar. Let us pray with you now to receive Him as Savior. And it may be today that you are here as a child of God. It may be that there's someone deep upon your heart. Oh, how you pray for their soul, how you pray for their salvation. But today it's a breaking in your heart. You want someone to pray with you for them. Come today, let's pray with you. Or maybe you're here today and once upon a time there was a fire in your soul for those far from God, but maybe it's just kind of gotten cooled just by, you know, by the journey, by the road to Emmaus. Come today, let us pray with you that you might go back upon your journey, a child of the burning heart. Father, now hear our prayer. Bless those who come. May the fire of God fill their hearts. Send them home, changed, forever changed. Children of the burning heart, I pray in Christ's name. Pastor Tom.
Shall we stand? Thank you, Alan, for such a great word this morning. Father, we thank you and ask that you would seal the words that we have heard. You seal them upon our hearts as we have received. May that burning that we've heard about today, that fire that leads us to your compassion, help us to come closer to the light. We give you praise, Father. Hallelujah. Let's just thank the Lord one more time, congregation, before we leave this place. Let's just worship Him. Thank Him for His word today that has brought life to us. Hallelujah. We are grateful to you, Lord. We're grateful to you. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for being with us this morning. We pray that you'll have a great day. In the name of Jesus.